It's the Confluence where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. President Joe Biden's $1.9 trillion relief package includes direct payments to most Americans, expanded unemployment benefits, assistance to small businesses, grants to state and local governments, and $20 billion for transit agencies. We welcome back to the Confluence the CEO of the Port Authority of Allegheny County, Catherine Kellerman. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me on, Kevin.
The Port Authority Board in June approved a $485 million budget for the current fiscal year. Has that budget been sort of a moving target? Have you been faced with many challenges in the first 6 months or so of that fiscal year?
We have seen a drop in ridership due to the ongoing pandemic. About 20% of our budget usually comes in from passenger fares. It's a balancing act for us, though, because as we know, we're urging folks to stay distant, and you can't stay distant on a packed bus. So we want the vehicles not to be as full. It has an impact on our fares. So it has been a moving target, but we have been very, very fortunate. We have a healthy reserve. The first iteration of CARES funding, which was authorized on March 27th, is helping us cover the shortfalls that we're seeing in this ongoing fiscal year.
Well, you mentioned ridership being down. At one point during the pandemic, I believe it was down about 80% overall. And for an eight-month period ending in November, it was still off about 64%. Are there any signs that ridership is coming back at least a little bit?
There definitely are. So ridership is down, but it depends on where you go to see the order of magnitude. So nationwide, for instance, we have seen that commuter-focused services are down anywhere from 85 to 95%. But this makes sense because our commuter riders are the most likely to have these pretty standard 8-to-5 jobs where they can do their jobs from home, right? However, in our neighborhoods where we have the most population density and these indicators that folks are going to use transit, so less car ownership, more job density, we're seeing the ridership come back more strongly. So those routes could be up to 50 or 60% of their ridership. And again, we're having to balance out how many people are safe to be on a bus. And I want to stress there's no record of anybody getting COVID from being on transit service. And if we're keeping lower numbers on the buses, then that's going to clearly reflect in lower ridership.
But to point out, you have had many operators and other employees have tested positive, correct?
We have. So we have our first cases started coming in late March, early April. We do contact tracing for anybody who notifies us they have a positive test. So just like any employer, we have had people test positive.
Your current budget is using money you received in the earlier stimulus package. I believe you received about $141 million last year in federal funds. So since you're using that now for this current fiscal year, do you actually need more? And if so, why?
We anticipate using all of the CARES funding from this first iteration by the end of this fiscal year. We also anticipate that until the vaccines have been widely rolled out, that we will continue to see lower ridership. And again, since we are built on a model where the number of people getting on the bus and paying fares is a significant chunk of our budget, if we don't get that gap filled between that or local funding, the only choices for us are removing service from the street. And if we're looking at being an economic engine, which clearly we are, our frontline workers can't get to work. All but one Port Authority route serves either a grocery store or medical facility. So the folks who've been working so hard through this pandemic, both making sure that we make service here at Port Authority and out on our streets here in Allegheny County, they can't get there if we don't have the funds to keep service going.
So the county uses drink taxes to help fund transit for its MATCH. The state gets funding for mass transit from the Turnpike Commission. Tolls are down. So overall, whether it's the Port Authority receiving money from the county or from the state, are those monies down?
So the most recent information we've heard from the Turnpike is that they are able to bond for the rest of the payments for this fiscal year. But it points to a larger conversation on transit funding. We currently receive funding via PennDOT, the Turnpike funding, from Act 89. And Act 89 is going to sunset in 2023. So the conversations we're having now about funding for transit were going to happen. We're just having them earlier.
In March of 2020, your office announced a reduction in service as the shutdown began. Where are you in terms of service now compared to pre-pandemic? And did you reduce staff?
One thing that I am proud of is we have not laid anybody off during the pandemic. Now, again, each person that we don't have that out there working is either a vehicle not getting cleaned, a vehicle not getting served or maintained, or a route not being run. If we take service off the street, that's the transportation equivalent of shutting down, you know, neighborhoods because you're not going to put the money out there today to maintain the roads. We used our CARES funding to fill the gaps on our funds so we were able to keep service out there. But I want to stress, with the CARES funding, the intent has always been preserving service and preserving investment. Mm-hmm. The CARES funding is not designed to be a nest egg to get us through 2-3 years down the road. It's designed to be invested back in service so we can maintain these commitments to our community.
Mm-hmm. The $20 billion that President Biden is proposing for mass transit is in addition to the $14 billion Congress passed at the end of December. It's intended for hard-hit transit agencies. Do you expect to get it based on the very current situation, not 3 years down the line?
I would be surprised if one of the 25 busiest transit agencies and pre-pandemic, the 15th biggest bus agency in the country, were not considered an investment meriting some sort of national attention. So we do expect to be considered for this funding.
Catherine, do you expect to ever get back to pre-pandemic ridership levels?
I absolutely do, but it's not going to look like it did. I think people are going to come back to work in different ways. People are going to make different collegiate decisions. So we're still going to see how that shakes out. We also know that people are leaving these big, expensive towns that they have the ability to work remotely. And how many of these folks come into Pittsburgh? There is going to be this time when we get back to pre-pandemic ridership. It will look different. But again, Pittsburgh has, at this point, a 160-year tradition of using transit. We've always been lucky enough to have exceptionally high levels of demand for the supply that we can get out there. So the world will look different, but the world will come back.
There was some very good news, actually, during the pandemic. The federal government awarded nearly $100 million for the bus rapid transit project, contingent upon having the other $130 million in hand. Do you have that other funding in hand?
What we do not have in hand, we have committed in budget. So we are essentially set with our final finances. We are going to be starting some construction this year, more construction next year. Folks can look forward to seeing benefits rolling out in that corridor. I mean, let's be honest. How long have we been talking about this, Kevin? People should not have to wait any longer to get these benefits. So in calendar 22, folks will start seeing stop improvements as we're able to roll them out. And by 2023, we'll have this entire corridor up and running, and we can start talking about the next place in Pittsburgh to bring this kind of cool technology.
Well, the BRT will run between downtown and Oakland with spurs to Highland Park, Squirrel Hill, and Greenfield, Wilkinsburg, and into the eastern suburbs. You've begun a final round of community outreach. Is this more to update, answer questions, rather than get suggestions? Isn't it a bit late to offer suggestions?
Well, it would be late to throw everything out, but this is part of a good planning process. I think it's fair to say that we've had some need in the past to reboot this. So part of the planning process is always referring back to what folks coming out to meetings and stakeholders have agreed on. So it's right now we're reviewing 90% design. We're answering questions. I don't think more input from folks is ever bad, but you're right. There's a point at which we do put things to bed and then move on to the next conversation. Yeah.
Catherine Kellerman is the CEO of the Port Authority of Allegheny County. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you, Kevin. Always a pleasure.
It's The Confluence on 90.5 WESA. I'm Kevin Gavin. Pittsburgh has been selected as one of four cities nationally to receive a reforestation hub assessment, which includes developing a pilot project to improve resource efficiency and carbon capture. Joining us now is Lisa Chaffee, the city's forester. Welcome, Lisa.
Hi, thanks for having me.
And Rebecca Kiernan is the principal resilience planner for the city. Rebecca, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
So Pittsburgh was selected by Cambion Carbon, a social impact venture, and the Arbor Day Foundation. Is that because we really needed the help to increase our tree canopy? Or maybe because the city has been making some progress and deserved a little boost? Rebecca, let's start with you.
It's a little bit of both. I mean, like most cities, we are facing a large budget shortfall. So we are looking for new revenue sources. But I think what excited Cambion Carbon about Pittsburgh was the dedicated staff and nonprofit partners and, you know, the interest in the city's tree canopy.
Lisa, if you would, what's the current status of the city's tree canopy? It had been shrinking for some years, right?
Yes, it has been shrinking. And unfortunately, we did see another decrease in canopy, but we are really actively working hard to come to a no net loss sort of policy around tree canopy. So we're trying to do replacement for as trees come down, we're working on replacing those and tracking those better, you know, tracking, you know, or what we're planting and trying to do more preservation.
What are the main factors? Is it strictly development? Are there other factors as well?
There's lots of factors. Development is one, you know, but we do have a provisions in our code that allow for us to regain that canopy, whether it's on site or through a mitigation process. Some of it is on private property where, you know, we may have a storm and people see things on a national news levels and they get upset around possibilities of trees, you know, around their homes causing issues. And sometimes there's knee-jerk reactions with removing trees unnecessarily. So there's lots of things, landslides, climate change. There's lots of contributing factors I could go into.
Mm-hmm. When we think of trees, maybe we think of, I don't know, Riverview Park, Schenley Park, any of our parks in the city. But to either of you, why is it important to have more trees, whether it's in neighborhoods and maybe even downtown? Rebecca?
Well, trees obviously have many benefits, and especially as our climate is changing, you know, trees have the ability to mitigate some of those impacts that we're seeing, like landslides, flooding. You know, they could help with our air quality problems. They shade the city from urban heat islands. They help lower energy costs. So particularly thinking about a changing climate, trees have a really good potential mitigating impact. Mm-hmm. One of the big opportunity areas that we have in addition to our parks is the greenway system. So that's 13 properties that are publicly owned across the city that total about 1,200 acres total. So a lot of what this project is going to do is look at those properties which are currently unmanaged and left up to resident stewardship groups, and hopefully be able to find some new revenue streams to take care of those properties and turn them into assets.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit more about revenues. How would this generate revenues, whether it's for repurposing wood or what have you? Rebecca?
Basically, what this opportunity with Cambion Carbon is going to do is we're going to get a feasibility study or a blueprint on how to access some of these new revenue streams. So in particular, we're thinking about two areas. So one is from wood reuse from downed trees on public property. And the other one is carbon offsets, which we can talk about. From the wood reuse of those downed trees on public property, basically what they would help us look at is understand what the current flow of tree debris or tree waste in our system, where that goes and how it's utilized. And they'll help us look at to see if there's a market for things like, you know, furniture making or building with some of those larger trees that come down that might have a better reuse opportunity afterwards. And then also how to handle some of our you know, chips wood or other wood debris in-house. So basically what this would do is it would help us to figure out how to create a circular economy or a circular system for our wood waste so that we could then take that funding and put it back into replacing those trees or reforestation efforts.
So in a sense, is there the potential for these programs to be sort of self-sustaining, funding maintenance of whether it is our trees or planting more trees or for the greenways, which were mentioned earlier?
That's what we're hoping to get. So basically, this engagement will get us that feasibility study and a blueprint to figure out how we can access those revenue streams so that we could have a sustainable source of funding going forward, just based on, better efficiency of our own wood waste and our own resources, and then also accessing these carbon markets.
Lisa, from our earliest science classes, we all remember we learned that trees are important for absorbing carbon dioxide. Besides the health benefit, how can that elimination of carbon help the city?
Well, I think we're looking towards doing more responsible planning overall as far as our transportation and just different modes of operation and getting people to back and forth from different places. And I think in general, the trees will provide for a more pleasant experience. They'll allow us to contribute to the better air quality around the city and make it a better place that people will want to come to live, being a greener city. And just by, filling in all the voids that we have along our streets where we can plant trees, adding additional trees to our canopy, lots of reasons.
Rebecca, can we get to the point where we're doing so well that we may be able to sell carbon credits?
Yes. So that's something else that we're going to be looking to explore. In terms of the carbon markets, what's really exciting in Pittsburgh is that we do have this large system of a lot of property in the Greenways network. So that's 1,200 acres across the city. Basically, the way that this would work is that we would analyze the current carbon storage capacity of those properties and then be able to sell the reforestation credits on the carbon market so that a company or an institution or an organization that's looking to offset their own emissions and their own footprint could then help, put that funding into our Greenways system or our open spaces to reforest them and move that carbon storage somewhere else.
And timetable for developing this pilot project to improve our resource efficiency and the carbon capture?
We should have a feasibility study completed by April. So April would be when we figure out, what it is that we need to move forward with implementation.
Rebecca Kiernan is Principal Resilience Planner for the City of Pittsburgh, and Lisa Chiaffi is the City of Pittsburgh's Forester. Thanks to both of you.
Thanks, Kevin.
Thank you.
And for today, that is The Confluence, where the news comes together on 90.5 WESA. You can find more from this and past episodes of The Confluence online at wesa.fm/confluence and through your favorite podcast app. Thanks to our team, Tom Hurley, Isabel Schmaler, Lara Satsui, and Mary Lee Williams. I'm Kevin Gavin. Until next time, hope you have a good day of good news.